Lamb of God, your blood has washed me clean, and now I can praise you all my days, for through you I am of God, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, in silence you were led. Lamb of God, in innocence you bled. And now I can praise you all my days, for through you I am of God, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, you were laid then in a grave. Lamb of God, by those you came to save, and now I can praise you all my days, for through you I am of God, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, it happened as you said. Lamb of God, you rose up from the dead, and now I can praise you all my days, for through you I am of God, Lamb of God. And now I can praise you all my days, for through you I am God, Lamb of
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And an added blessing, Yom Tov.
Yom Tov.
Have a good day. So far in our examination of Jehovah's commands to us, we have touched upon 8 of the 10 categories he presents to us at the base of Mount Sinai so many years ago. We learned his commands to us were divided into two major categories: life instructions, which were focused on our vertical relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls, and life instructions, which dealt with our horizontal relationships with our fellows. In approaching our vertical relationship instructions, we have unpacked what it means to love our Elohim with all our heart, souls, and might. We have explored the command to love Yehovah only and not to look towards another object of worship or construct anything that might be used for worship, even if we believe it represents our beloved Elohim. In previous messages, he has led us to examine what it means to take the name of our Lord in vain and to observe and protect the Sabbath day, Shabbat, because this is his day ordained for rest. Finally, we were informed of the necessity to honor those in authority, our parents, our government, our civil authorities, since they have all been appointed by Yehovah to lead and govern us. So far then, we have explored three of the five life instructions which guide us in our relationships with our fellow human beings. We delved into what it means to not murder and the difference between murdering and killing. Our discussions led us into an exploration of how even believers are seduced into committing spiritual adultery. And in the message of 2 weeks ago, we discovered what it means to not steal from our neighbors, but especially not to steal from Yehovah. In this week's message, then, we begin unpacking his ninth commandment: do not lie. In several translations, this commandment often reads, "Do not bear false witness against your neighbor." As I read this, the impression is a willful lying to impugn someone else. To me, though, this commandment is much broader and covers much more territory. Have you ever lied? Raise your hand, please, if you haven't told a lie in the past 24 hours. Okay, that's a bit unfair. Putting you on the spot like that, and I do apologize. Do we all lie, like psychologists believe? Why is it that people do lie? Abba Father, I pray that our hearts and minds will be open to your word. I pray that your word for us this morning will go deep into our hearts, into our subconscious minds, where our desires, where our intentions, where our motivations lie. Abba, I pray that you will guide us through your word this morning. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshechenu. In the beloved name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. As you might expect, there are many reasons why people lie, and all of them are a result of a personal motivation. One psychological study found people lie for three reasons. The first is to convince others to do or not do something they want. The second is to convince someone to make a decision favorable to the liar. And the third is to obtain something desired. Award-winning author Tad Williams said, "We tell lies when we are afraid. Afraid of what we don't know. Afraid of what others will think. Afraid of what will be found out about us. But every time we tell a lie, the thing we fear grows stronger." And how true that is. Unfortunately, lying is addictive, probably as much as any drug, alcohol, or tobacco could be. One young, very perceptive person responded with this insight: "I'm young, but I realized quickly lustful people know how to get what they want, even if it means lying to you about how they feel." Unfortunately, lying in our society is easy, and most people who habitually lie get away with it for a time. I've shared with you before, I grew up in an environment in which lying was a strategy for emotional and physical security. I discovered that I would be safe if I told a convincing lie, and I would be physically hurt if I told the truth. So I learned to become a convincing liar. Over time, the lines between the truth and the lie became blurred for me, and I began to find myself entering into a fantasy world where I controlled what I thought was truth. Of course, this was all delusion and had an enormously negative impact upon me. I won't go any further with this at this time, except to say that I am eternally grateful to Adonai Yeshua for his cleaning out the lies in my heart and replacing them with his truth. I have been privileged, honored, and blessed to have been the recipient of many testimonies of others who have grown up in the world of lies, having been released from the enemy's grasp and rescued from their own fantasies. How does Jehovah view a lie in the pantheon of sins committed by humans? In Proverbs 6, Solomon shares Jehovah's perception of the things he detests. There are six things Adonai hates, seven which he detests: a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet swift in running to do evil, a false witness who lies with every breath, and him who sows strife amongst brothers. Notice, of these seven sins, three are focused on lying: a lying tongue, bearing false witness, and sowing strife amongst brothers. If Jehovah views these as detestable, shouldn't we also? If one of the primary needs for lying rests in our need for security, why do believers especially continue to lie when they feel threatened? Believe it or not, the adversary has placed within us triggers for lying. These themselves are lies which have infected our memories, such that when we come across a situation which evokes a similar reaction to the memory we have, the lie comes to the surface, and we may be propelled to lie even though we want to tell the truth. As strange as this may sound, even believers can give the enemy power to interfere with our lives. Proverbs 12 shares with us, "Lying lips are an abomination to Adonai, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." As David tells us, Hashem hates liars and finds them an abomination. We don't need to delve into that issue much further. But what are the consequences of lying? To approach this question, let's journey to the apostolic scriptures in the story of Hananiah and Sapphira. This couple colluded to sell a piece of their property, claiming they were giving all the proceeds to Jehovah, but in reality kept a certain portion for themselves. Listen to how Hashlichim, the apostles, address this issue as we read in Acts 5. "Before you sold it, the property was yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours to use as you please. So what made you decide to do such a thing? You have lied not to human beings, but to God. Upon being convicted of his sin of stealing from Elohim, Hananiah died on the spot. The same fate visited his wife. But why did they do such a thing? What was their motivation? This we are not told, but the question does beg deeper examination. As I described briefly earlier, lying is based on intention. It is never an accident and always founded in a personal need. In the case of Hananiah and Sapphira, we can only infer their motivation from their actions. I would assume then there was a confluence of greed and a desire for recognition propelling their behavior. The desire for recognition is tied in with an external need, which ought to be filled with Jehovah's love, but this appears to have been rejected in favor of that from human beings. The greed appears to stem from the need to hang on to a part of what they believe rightfully belongs to them. Had they been honest about this, there would have been no sin. Isn't that interesting? And doesn't this speak loudly to us today? It is actually easier and safer to tell the truth and accept the consequences than to lie in order to avoid them. Let's untangle this understanding. When I tell the truth, I don't need to remember what I have said, since truth is truth, no matter when it is spoken. But when I tell a lie, I need to remember all the details, since I may be asked at any time to repeat what I have said. Often another lie is required to support and substantiate the first. Before long, I have a web of lies swirling around me, which is impossible to manage, and I will become trapped in this web I have so carefully built. At that point, the consequences will be much harsher than if I had originally told the truth. Numerous scientific studies have examined the pathology of lying and have uncovered some interesting findings. For example, a 2008 study concluded it is difficult to lie convincingly. The problem lies in concocting a story which fits within the context of both the subject and the person who is hearing the lie. This requires a great amount of energy, even if the lie is prepared. A skilled interviewer, such as the police or professional employment recruiters, are well trained to spot the signs of lying, which appear to be frequent hesitation in telling the story, making factual errors, speaking more slowly than in normal conversation, taking many pauses in the telling and waiting longer before answering, possibly to complete the lie concoction.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, we feel the glory of the living God. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, we feel the glory of the to worship. worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy, holy. For your name is holy.
Okay, let's open the can of worms. Why do believers lie? Presumably, we understand the gravity of telling a lie. We understand there is no difference between a little white lie, lying to cover up a wrongdoing, or self-delusion. So how is it believers often fall into the trap of lying? Imagine I am working at my place of employment, other than the Messianic Center, that is. It is break time, and I take my coffee into the office area just to see what is happening. While there, I somehow stumble, which I'm wont to do, and spill my coffee onto a sensitive piece of equipment, a photocopier, let's say. I notice it is giving off a strange noise. At that moment, my supervisor comes in and attempts to make a copy. Of course, the copier doesn't work. He turns to me and asks, "What's wrong with the copier?" I turn red and respond, "I have no idea." Why would I lie? Well, there are several reasons for a lie at this moment, as it turns out. Yes, I am a believer, and yes, I am also a human being. Rather than admit my error in bringing coffee into the work area, where a problem could occur, I am now in the position of protecting myself from injury to my status within the company, which is pride, fear of punishment, which is fear. I might look foolish in other people's eyes, again, pride. My supervisor might become angry with me, fear. I would have to admit I made a mistake, pride. And here we have the two motivators most often behind lies, pride and fear. The third motivator, greed, is close behind. However, believers never have greed. However, I believe most of us lie due to these five desires to protect ourselves when we stand in the world rather than in the kingdom. Speaking of greed as a motivator for lying, we come across the issue of deceit. Would you find it strange to find a ministry selling a product to engage in deceit to boost sales? This to me would remove said ministry from Adonai Yeshua's protection. Well, let me share an incident with you. Earlier this week, Chantel wasn't able to sleep, and so she watched a program on a very popular Christian television station. This particular program happened to be a paid advertisement for a water filtering product. Chantal reported the promotion quoted sections from Ezekiel 12 and altered the names within the prophecy, allowing them to focus on a future shaking of the United States rather than the land focused in Scripture. Here is what is written in the complete Jewish Bible. Son of man, tremble as you eat your food and shudder in fear as you drink your water. Say to the people of the land, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Yerushalayim and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am Adonai. What Chantal heard was this. This is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in the United States. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. This was followed by an appeal for viewers to purchase the water filter, to be prepared for the devastation which will follow. The deception was a sin of major proportions for at least three reasons. The promoter of the filter changed Scripture to fit his desire to sell a product and make a profit. How is this a sin? We are told quite clearly in Revelation 22, I warn everyone hearing the words of this commandment that if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes anything away from the words in the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, as described in this book. Thus, by making the passage from Ezekiel appear to be about the United States rather than Israel, the promoter has changed Scripture. Clearly a sin. The promoter of this product is being deceptive. Using Scripture to sell a product is being deceptive, as this is inappropriate use of Jehovah's Word. It is lying, and in effect is using his name in vain. By using this passage from his word to make a profit, the promoter and presumably the owner of the product are displaying greed. A violation of Torah indeed. Even though they may make a fortune here on earth, there will be consequences to endure at some point in time. There always is. Beloved, the use of lies and deceptions for personal gain or for personal protection without the express leading of the Holy Spirit is sinful and will result in consequences. Should the liar and the deceiver not repent, ask for forgiveness from those who have been lied to or deceived, and provide compensation for any damage which has been caused by the sinful behavior. If you find yourself in a defensive situation where you might lie in order to protect yourself, in whatever way, repent as soon as possible. We do not want anyone to suffer Jehovah's wrath. Abba, our beloved Father, I ask you to give each and every one of us the strength to resist the enemy's attempts to tempt us into lying and deceiving others. On our own strength, we could not manage this. Only your power and might can help us overcome this temptation. Help us stay on your narrow path and walk in your light, avoiding the ditches which will lead us into darkness. In your beloved name, we all pray. Amen.
God's children now, and what we will be is not yet appear. We know that when he appears, shall be like